Okay, so we are discussing trusting God and faith and free will. This is a topic which is really relevant to the book, because the book is duties of the heart, and duties of the heart are mitzvot to do with a person's belief system and a person's mind. But there's another aspect of mitzvot which is actually practical mitzvot. So there's two kinds of mitzvot. There's mitzvot which are practical mitzvot, which are duties of the body. And there are also duties of the mind, which is mitzvot of belief. And so even in that area, a person should have faith in God. And that's something which we're going to talk about tonight. How does a person have faith in God regarding mitzvot? And he talks about certain mitzvot which apply on an individual level. Certain mitzvot apply on an individual level. Certain mitzvot apply on a communal level. So let's talk about the mitzvot which apply on an individual level, like, for example, fasting. And a person needs a certain amount of faith in God to fast, right? It's Yom Kippur, it's a long fast, it's 25 hours. So a person needs to have a little bit of faith in God to be able to survive the fast. A person's got to have faith to be able to fast. A person needs the faith. So fasting, praying, a person, you know, has to have faith that I'll be able to pray to God, I'll be able to connect. It's so hard to connect. It's very easy to pray, but it's very hard to connect on the praying. Yeah? It's very hard to actually focus the mind. That's the duty of the heart, which is focusing the mind on tefillah. Have kavanah in the tefillah. So if a person prays, say, I don't know how many minutes it takes the Shmoneh Esrei, let's say five minutes. Among the 5 minutes, how much of that 5 minutes is actually connecting? And it could be 2%, it could be 1%. Halavai would be 1%, 2%, 5%. If it's 10%, you're genius. Succeeded completely. But a person needs faith and prayer to God to be able to connect. Person going to start off, that's where we start off. Hashem, you're the one who's going to connect me to you. My own thoughts are just all over the place. It's just, we pray, but our minds are all over the place. Now it's interesting, sometimes the prayer itself is a launching pad for our thoughts. So we say a line and say, hey, so the line triggers something in the brain, and the brain starts thinking about other things. Related topic, but at a totally different tangent. So it's so hard to really focus on tefillah, and a person needs to have emunah and tefillah to be able to pray. A person has to pray to be able to pray. Boy, it's so hard to connect to Hashem. So usually, when does a person connect to Hashem? When a person really is at a loss. A person's at a loss. We talked about this last week's parasha. It says, "Vayishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Hamita." Yisrael, Yaakovinu, bows at the head of the bed. Well, Rashi says he bowed towards the head of the bed. Why? Because Hashem's presence is with a sick person by the head of the bed. Praying by the side of a sick person is like praying with a minyan. Why? The Shekhinah's presence is there. God's presence is right there by the head of the bed of a sick person. So the question is, what is God's presence doing at the head of the bed of the sick person? Why is the sick person more connected to God than anyone else? And this was especially true in those days where there were no doctors and no hospitals and no nurses. And basically, a person was left to the kindnesses of the relatives. If the relatives were kind, they would be looked after. If the relatives were not kind, they'd be dying in the bed. That's it. They die. So a person who's sick in those days is really needing God. There's nothing else. There's no one else. And therefore, a person really needs God, Hashem says, I'm here. It's very interesting. So when a person really needs, that's when the connection is the most. And that's something which we, you know, sometimes we don't need God so much. You know, things are going well, thank God. And the mind is, you know, we're just praying because we have to pray. It's an obligation to pray. But a person doesn't really need, so therefore there's no connection. A person doesn't really need God, then Hashem says, you don't need me. You don't want me. I mean, I want you, but I don't really need you right now. I don't really need you 100%. And therefore, it's very hard to connect in that time. So when things are going well, so when things are rough, that's when people really want to connect. And that's when Hashem is closer. It's interesting. The more we just read yesterday, a very interesting idea. The famous rabbi, one of the great rabbis of Vilna, he says this idea. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, this week's parasha, he says, when the Jews ask me who you are, what should I tell them? It's a very strange question, right? When the Jewish people ask me, what's your name? What name should I give them? How will I describe you to them? I mean, when Jews are going to ask what God's name is, they don't know God's name. I mean, that's a real problem. You don't know God's name. What's God's name? So what does Hashem answer? Ekiyeh. You will answer, I am Ekiyeh. What's Ekiyeh? I am what I will be. Very strange answer. I will be. Right? but what's I will be? Ekiye. Right? Say my name is Ekiye. And then he says, Ekiye Asher Ekiye. I will be what I will be. What's I will be? I will be. So he takes a beautiful idea. He says, Ekiye says, I will be depending on what you want me to be. Ekiye, I will be depending on your needs. I will be. Whatever you need, I will be. You want me to save you from Mitzrayim? I'll save you from Mitzrayim. You want me to do this? I'll do this for you. Ekiye. It's amazing. In other words, Hashem can be whatever we want him to be. Whatever our prayers are, it's amazing. You want Hashem to be a shadchan? Ekiye, I can be a shadchan. Bezrat Hashem, I need a shadchan as well. You want Hashem to be a fireman? Hashem will be the fireman. You want Hashem to do that? Hashem can do anything you want. Ekiye, it's amazing. So, can you imagine the Jewish people asking Moshe, how to describe Hashem? Hashem says, Ekiye, I will be. I'll be what? Whatever your needs are, I'll fulfill your needs. It's an amazing answer. What a brilliant perush. So I just read it yesterday. I got the book over there. It's amazing. It's a fantastic Ekiye. So you want me to redeem you? I'll redeem you. You want to stay in Mitzrayim? That's your choice. Whatever you want. Ekiye. It's all free will. Our prayers, our tefillot, are all free will. Up to a certain point, all free will. Everything's free will. So we have the ability, with our free will, as Rambam says, the closer we get to Hashem, the closer he is to us. The further away we get it from Hashem, the further away he is from us. It's all up to us. Ekiye. Everything is up to us. Ekiye, I will be. I will be depending on you. I will be depending on your tefillah. I will be depending on your yearning, your desires. That's an amazing concept. Amazing. So we have to have emunah before we even do a mitzvot. Why? Because we need some emunah. Number one is a person has to buy a certain mitzvot. And it takes a lot of emunah to buy. You do tzedakah. It's a tremendous amount of emunah. A person has to have bitachon. In fact, one of the ways to develop bitachon in God is to give tzedakah. Because I'm giving. What's going to happen to me? I'm giving from my own hard earnings. It's a very, very hard thing to do. A person works, struggles for the living. We all struggle. So unless you're in the top, 1% of the bracket, I know where they don't struggle. Even there, they struggle. Okay, $1 billion here and there every day. You know, it goes up and down. You know, George Soros lost $1 billion over Trump. He lost $1 billion. He was hedging and the markets went up. So $1 billion. $1 billion here and there for another... With $50 billion in the bank, you know, big deal, you know. But a person here gives 5%, 10% of the income. It's a big chunk of income. It's a big chunk of income. You work hard for it. So how do we develop our bitachon? And the answer is, that's how we develop a bitachon. Hashem says, you give and I give you. Venatnu. Venatnu is a... It goes both ways. Venatnu. All right? So by the Machzit HaChekel, Venatnu Ish. A person will give. Venatnu is a... What is it called? Goes both ways. You can read it both ways. Yeah. It goes, you can read it venatnu, is the same letter as going forth and venatnu going backwards. Venatnu, and you will give. And you will give and you will get. That's what the Torah stands for. Venatnu, vav, nun, taf, nun, vav. It starts with a vav, ends with a vav. And the words can be read both ways, backwards and forwards. You give and you get. So that's, how does a person test that? And the answer is you're allowed to test it. You're allowed to test it. You give, you see, you've got to get it back. And that's a way of developing emunah. So that's a way of developing bitachon and Hashem. A person does mitzvot, and you see you do mitzvot, and you see that somehow the blessing comes. A person builds a sukkah. Somehow they feel better. Somehow they survive Sukkot. It's interesting. Ben Ish Chai asked the question. He says, how come on the holidays there's a special mitzvah v'samachta bechagecha? Be happy in your holidays. He says, because the holidays are the hardest time to be happy. Why? Because you've got to take time off work, and it costs money. So you're taking, not only are you taking time off of work, but you also have to spend money to be happy in your holiday. Mm-hmm. So with all the spending, a person says, how am I going to get pay back? So the Torah says, be happy. And that's the test of emunah. That is the test of emunah. You're going to be happy in the spending. Pesach is expensive. Sukkot is expensive. You got to buy all the different things, and it's expensive. Today it's cheaper than it ever was. Today you can buy lulav. In those days, to get lulav was like, especially if you live in Europe, forget it. Not everyone get it. Get an etrog? Maybe one person in the whole city had an etrog. To buy tzitzit for a man, to buy tefillin, it's $500 to a cheap, good pair of tefillin. Want a good pair of tefillin, it's $500. So a person's got to have that emunah to be able to say, you know what, Hashem will pay me back. I'm doing this for God, purely for God, to get a mohel. Forget about it. Person has a brit milah. Can you imagine? The moral record, the local moral was around $700-$800. I can't remember how much it was. $700-$800. You can get a moral for free. Thank God there's Mo'alim will do it for, you can call, I'll give you his number if you need it. When he's the Mo'al, he'll do it for free, he'll do it for the mitzvah. For a tzaddik, big tzaddik. But again, Mo'al wants money. So everything costs money. So here's a guy, he has a new baby. Someone came to me last month. They said, listen, I want to put my kid in the yeshiva. Can't afford it. They want $17,000 for preschool. And I tell them, $70,000. He says, we can afford it. But it's a big chunk of money. We can afford it. You're right. I mean, they're right. But just think about it. I got to pay $17,000 for preschool. And then, you know, the building fund and this fund and that fund. So find a cheaper yeshiva. There are cheaper yeshiva. Thank God. So again, so you'll pay half as much. Pay $8,000. Okay. That's a big chunk of money. Imagine. Both parties are working. The father and the mother are working. And they got to pay this for a little kid. And they've got to pay this the rest of their lives. People today complain, you know, the cost of raising a child in America. But the truth is, without yeshiva tuition, it's very, very cheap. Especially with health kids, whatever. So, it takes a lot of emunah just to do mitzvot. It takes a lot of bitachon, just to do mitzvot. A person has to have bitachon even in the mitzvot they're doing. Wow! Sometimes more so. Why? Because you don't see anything tangible for mitzvot. So you need even more trust in God, that God will pay me back for the mitzvot, where I don't see anything tangible coming back from them. I don't see a return on my mitzvah. I don't see a financial return on my mitzvah. I'm doing all this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Where's the financial return? And the answer is, the person's got to know this. There's other things in life apart from financial returns. Some things are more valuable than financial returns, right? For example, you said, money can't buy you love. That's the Beatles, right? Money can't buy you satisfaction. Money can't buy you a sense of purpose. Money can't buy you a sense of happiness. I think it can, but it can't. And that's what mitzvah gives us. That's what Hashem gives us. Hashem gives us a sense of purpose. Hashem gives us a sense of happiness. Hashem gives us a sense of satisfaction that's worth more than all the money in the world. And that's what the mitzvah give us. So a person says, you know what? Keeping Shabbat, I got to take time off my work. I got to leave early. You know, it's hard. You know, thank God it's much easier now than ever before, but still hard. I know I used to work at a bank. And when they saw me leaving, they said, oh, Jews leaving. The Jews leaving early, half day Friday. They kept on talking. You know, it's not easy to see someone leaving in the middle of the workday, you know. And you got to be strong and say, yeah, what can I do? So that's it. So a person's going to try their best. And today it's much easier than before, but still. A person's going to avoid working on the festivals. That's a harder one because the festivals are all over the calendar. They don't believe you, you know. This day and this day. Remember when I was in college, the guy says, what? You just had Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, okay, but now what? Now what? I said, Sukkot. Sukkot, I never heard of Sukkot. What is Sukkot? Explain to me what it is. You got to give an explanation. What is it? So these things require emunah. These things require bitachon. So we think, you know, mitzvot don't require. Mitzvot I'm doing for God, right? It takes even more bitachon. It takes even more emunah. Why? Because you don't get anything tangible from it. It's pure belief. Where is this going to get you? Someone asked you. Where is this? You're going to go to yeshiva for a year. What's it going to get you? What are you going to do? You're not going to earn money for a year. You're right. I'm taking time off. What? My spiritual welfare. I'm investing myself spiritually. Tell me what that does for you. Well, we have to. If we don't know, we're not going to be able to explain it. If we can't explain it, we can't explain it to ourselves, then we're going to get lost. Why? Because that question is going to haunt us. I took a year off and I wasted a year and I didn't get money for a year and it really knocked me down. Now what am I going to do about it? So a person has to know the answers before they even go for that year. A person's got to know the answers. And hopefully by the time they come back, they'll have good answers. Otherwise, you know. And the same thing applies to any mitzvah. Otherwise, a person will regret it. And it's worse, because when a person regrets a mitzvah, they just erase that mitzvah. Rambam says in Laws of Teshuvah, just like there's Teshuvah from bad things, there's Teshuvah from good things. Oy, oy, oy. Sometimes you help someone, and then they instead of returning a compliment, they give you an insult. So a person says, I wish I never did that. Wrong! Never do that! Never, 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 never! Why? You just erase that mitzvah. Never. And that's what we say in the formula for annulling vows. I don't regret doing the mitzvah. I just regret accepting it in a vow form. The mitzvah itself, I don't regret. I regret the fact that I accepted it as a vow. That's what we regret. We don't regret the mitzvah. So it's very important to know that it's interesting. Even though doing a mitzvah, you need emunah to do that mitzvah. You need the bitachon to do the mitzvah. The person has to be sure, guaranteed. Hashem will help me. I'm going to do this mitzvah for God's sake, and Hashem will reward me. I know He's going to reward me. And there's no doubt about it. Why? How do we know? How do we know Hashem's going to reward us? Because the Torah says, al talin schar sachir ad boker. You will not delay the reward for a workman until the morning. If Hashem puts in the Torah, you don't have to delay the work of a workman. How much more so Hashem will not delay our reward? The question is, what a delay? You know, that's the famous joke. You know, man says to God, he says, God, what is $1 million for you? He says, nothing. He said, okay, so why don't you give me $1 million? He says, God says, in a minute. What's a minute to you? A minute could be 1,000 years. So, and it's coming. It's coming. The reward is coming. There's no question about it. A person is guaranteed reward. So it's interesting that a person has to have emunah even in mitzvot. So how does a person do that? So he says, number one, ask Hashem to guide you towards the right path. That's one of the things we have to always ask. My father always just gives a bracha to all his children. He said, Hashem should guide you in the right. Hashem should always guide you to the right. A person should always pray to God to guide us towards the truth for His mercy. And His mercy, because why is God guiding us in the truth? Why? Who cares? I mean, what does Hashem care? So the answer is Hashem has mercy on us. He has mercy, He's a merciful God, and therefore He should guide us in truth. It is only possible to fulfill a mitzvah or transgress a negative commandment after having done three things. First, a person must make a moral decision. And most people just make decisions, they don't think it's a moral decision, right, wrong. I want to do it! So that's already, that's a flaw right there. Judaism says before you even do something, before you think about something, think about whether it's right or wrong. That's number one. And the trouble is, the sin of the fruit of good and evil. What is good and what is good? We don't know. We're confused. And that's where that choice is. Number one is it good or bad? Is it right or is it wrong? That's more like it. We have to ask Hashem to give us the brains. So that's why the first prayer we pray in the Shemona Esrei, when we ask for our daily needs, is Daat. What is Daat? Daat is the sin of the tree of Daat. What's Daat? The ability to see the difference between good and bad and right and wrong. So it's amazing. The first thing we ask for is Chonen Daat. Ata Chonen Adam Daat, Baruch Ata Hashem, Chonen HaDaat. We pray for the tikkun of the flaw of Daat. What's Daat? Daat is the ability to see distinctions. And in fact, that's all Gemara. That's Gemara. Learning Gemara is all about Daat. It's interesting. It's the tikkun of Daat. Why? Because usually the Gemara, what happens is, it discusses different cases and tries to find differences between the dead cases. Very, very fine. Right? Tuesday nights. 8 o'clock, we learn. There's differences. What is the distinction between this and this? And usually they're very fine distinctions. So to make that moral decision, that's number one. Number two. A person has to act to follow through on the choice. And number three is to take the action to make it a reality. So there's three stages to do something. Number one is to decide what to do. Number two is to want to do it. And number three is to follow through. So that includes good and bad. So when a person wants to do something good, then number one is they have to decide their mind to do it. Right? Let's get a mundane example. On Shabbat morning, I've got to decide I'm going to get up at a certain time. I'm going to go to shul. Right? I'm going to decide to do it. Then I gotta want to do it. That's the harder part, because you gotta want to get out of bed. And number three is you gotta do it. Three parts. And same thing applies to negative. Well, that's the question. That's the part we're talking about. Is the bitachon. You need bitachon to pray to God to be able to. 100%. You need the help of Hashem. So that's why a person says Be'ezrat Hashem, and people say Im Yirtzeh Hashem, right? Which is Hashem, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, I don't like Im Yirtzeh Hashem. Why? If God wants it to happen. Because God wants it to happen. You want to do something good, God wants it to happen. It's up to you now. And they'll say, Rabbi, I asked him, did you come to class tomorrow? He said, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Hashem wants you to come. What do you mean, Hashem wants you to come. You say, Be'ezrat Hashem, that's something else. Hashem should help me come. That's fine. Hashem wants you to come. So two of these three things under your control. Number one is, you have the free choice. You can listen to God or disobey God. Number two is you're free to determine to follow through in that choice. All right? So you can't trust God that He will put in your heart the choice. That part is not in God's hands. God gave it up to you. But you can pray to God, help me to choose the right things. But that final choice is not God. You can't blame God for that choice. It's very interesting. You cannot have trust in God that your choice is from God. That's a chutzpah. God, I'm going to choose to do bad, but it's really your choice because you knew what I'm going to do. That's what people say. You know what I'm going to do. You know I'm going to choose bad. So if you chose me to do bad, wrong. That's not free choice. That's not free choice then. They're a robot. I'm not a robot. Hashem says, I give you total free choice. You cannot trust me for your choices. In other words, there's no bitachon when it comes to your choice. A person can't say, I'm choosing this, God, and I trust it's the right decision. Wrong. If you follow the guidelines, of course you can trust the right decision. If you didn't follow the guidelines, you say, I trust you, God, because I was right, because I really feel it's the right decision. What do you mean, you're right? Whose feeling is that? You feel it's right. A lot of people go by their gut feeling, which could be right, could be wrong. Well, it depends what kind of gut they have. That's why people have trouble with their guts. Okay, so two of the three things are under control. It's amazing. Two of these three things. So the initial decision is under your control. I can do with God. The will, if you want to do it or not, is up to you. Will you do it or not? Maybe then God might, there may be an earthquake, there may be a flood, there may be this, and you can't do it. That may be up to God. But the first two are totally in your control. Amazing. So the first thing, the choice to serve God or disobey God is up to you. It's wrong and foolish to say, God made me choose this. It's not, yeah, it's wrong. It's asur. It's forbidden. How can a person say, you made me choose this? You're the one who caused me to do this, Hashem. It's a chutzpah, total chutzpah to say that. And that's what Adam says. You know, the woman you gave me. You gave me that woman. She did it. It's your fault. It's your fault, God. Blaming God. Instead of saying, you know, I made the mistake. You know, she tempted me, but I made the choice. Adam should have said, I made the choice. He doesn't say, you. It's a chutzpah. Imagine your child blames you. Daddy, you gave me the toy, and that's what happened. Now you gave me the toy gun, and that's how I killed the so-and-so. It's your fault. Yeah, whatever. I'm just giving an example. Don't take it literally. I wasn't talking to you. You did hear that one. Okay. So it's wrong to trust that Hashem put the choice in your heart, because Hashem left the choice up to you. And that's what the Torah says, right? Re'eh anochi noten levnechem hayom et hachayim v'et hatov v'et hamavet v'et hara. Hashem says, I put in front of you today the chayim, life and good, and death and evil. So free choice up to us. We can't say, Hashem, you made me choose it. So whether we actually do the good or bad is not up to you. That's dependent on things which are outside your control. I wanted to do it. I tried to do it. Unsuccessful. Psh, that's great. Isn't that great? Hashem wouldn't let the guy do it. Unsuccessful. Sometimes Hashem puts the barriers that it cannot be fulfilled. The choice was there. And sometimes even good choices, a person wants to do good, but sometimes they want to do something good and they got sick. They couldn't do it. So what happens? What happens in that case? Well, what happens in that case? So it says, Anus, Hashem makes it as if it was done. The person really wants to do something. It's amazing. The gift we have, and we can do this. Let me give you an example. A guy's in jail. Solitary confinement. Take Pollard. I don't really do it for so many years. He has a toilet in his cell. Can you pray in that cell? It depends. If it's really clean, I don't think a jail toilet, I don't know if they clean it. It's probably dirty. You don't have to pray. What can you do? What do you do in that situation? What can a Jew do when you're allowed to pray? What do you do? You think in your head, I really want to pray. By thinking I really want to pray, Hashem makes it as if Hashem misaref machshava tova lemaaseh. Hashem counts the good thought as a good deed. It's an amazing concept. A person's in bed. They're sick and they can't wear tefillin. What should they do? They should think, Hashem, I really want to wear my tefillin. I wish I could. I really wish I could. I wish I could keep Shabbat. I wish I could go to Shul. I wish I could do this. I can't. What can I do? But I want to. I really want to. And you know, if I was able to, I'd do it. Now that's a guarantee, really. Because otherwise, it's really a cop-out. The guy says, I want to do it, but really, if I had the choice, I really wouldn't. He's not going to get credit for that. You really must want to do it, and really would do it if you had the chance. So look at this. Look at this amazing, where it's a cop-out to say, you know, someone asked the rabbi once, a very great, great, great question. Is it ever a mitzvah to be an atheist? Anyone? Is there a mitzvah to be an atheist sometimes? Can you give me a case where it's a mitzvah to be an atheist?
It's
okay. Very good. There's a famous story. One guy came to the rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, is it time ever a time to be an atheist?" He said, "Yes, a time when someone comes to you for help and you say, 'God will help you.' Be an atheist and say, 'I will help you.' Well, I can be God's messenger." Most people say, "Yeah, don't worry. I can't help you, but someone, God will help you. Hashem is there. Don't worry, Hashem will help you." Says, when it comes to yourself, believe in God. When it comes to other people, you help them. What a great answer. What a brilliant answer. In other words, even there's a... obviously, he's not talking about, "I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God when it comes to helping other people." I can't say, it's a cop-out to say, "Hashem will help you. I can't help you. Hashem will help you." Okay, fine. If you can help, you have to help. If you can't help, you're right. But if you can help, why not? But why blame God and say, put it all in God's head. Hashem says, "You have a mitzvah." It's a brilliant answer. Same idea over here. So a person saying, "Hashem, I'm blaming you for my choices." Wrong. When it comes to choices, Hashem gave us the choices. It's very, very important. If you rely on God when faced with the choice of serving Him and say you will not choose to do anything until He decides what is best for me, for you, you will have strayed from the right path and abandoned the true path. Because Hashem already commanded you to serve Him. So if you're saying, "Now I'm not going to serve Him unless He puts a choice in my head," Hashem already commanded you to serve Him. It's not a question of choice now. You have an obligation. "And pursue His service with energy and determination for the sake of His great name. He let us know that this is the proper way for us both in this world and the world to come." Okay? So, the person is saying, "My choices are in God's hands." Wrong. It's up to us. That is free choice. Free choice is totally, the buck stops here. It's Harry Truman, right? He had a big sign on his desk. "The buck stops here." I heard he had a stuffed fish over his... You saw that? He had a stuffed fish, with Harry Truman, someone else, the president, and in his office, and he had a big sign over there: "My big mouth got me into this." Yeah, it should be in Trump, right? Let's not record that one. Okay. So it's very important not to talk too much. But it's interesting. So choices are up to us. You cannot blame God for the choices. You cannot rely on God for the choices. You can pray to God for the right direction, but if it's already in the Torah and it's already an obligation, what are you praying to God for? But sometimes a person can say, "Help me against my yitzhara. I know what the right choice is, I just have the trouble making that choice." That's where bitachon comes into play. That's where emunah comes into play. It's very hard. Some choices are very hard. To make aliyah, not to make aliyah. It's a very hard choice. A person needs a lot of bitachon. A person needs a lot of emunah to don't make that choice. To get married, not get married. It's a big leap of faith. That's why it's compared to crossing the sea. Nachshon ben Aminadab, they've jumped in. You just got to jump in. If you don't jump in, nothing's going to happen. Not going to happen. A person's going to jump without even knowing all the information. You can't. There's no way you can know all the information. Everyone changes over years. How am I going to know it's going to be good in 30 years' time? Well, forget about 30 years' time. Just get married now. Don't even think about it. No one knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. So a person can say, "Hashem, I want to do your will. I just need your help. That's fine. I know what's right, what's wrong. I'm going to choose the right path. I just need your help." Of course, Siyata Dishmaya. That's what Siyata Dishmaya is all about. Habari Tahem, Messiah in law. A person wants to come and do the right thing. Hashem helps them. Of course. Of course Hashem will help. It's obvious. But you can't say, "God, I'm relying on you to make the choice for me. I'm not going to do anything unless you make the choice for me." It doesn't happen. If a person decided to do Hashem's command, and you succeed and actually fulfill the command, you will be richly rewarded for making the decision to serve Hashem, for deciding to carry it out, for making the actual acts done with your limbs. It's amazing how much reward there is just for walking. A person walk into a mitzvah. Reward for every step you walk. If it's rain, you get reward for every drop of rain that hits you. If it's snowing, you got reward for every slush that you walk into and the puddles and the whatever. Tremendous reward. We can't imagine how much reward you're going to get. I can't imagine. It's amazing. And we have to visualize it. Every step I took, every step was another battle. Every step you're fighting the Yetzirah. That's why we do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. Why do we Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah? The Midrash says that the Satan came as a river in front of Avraham Avinu. He's going into the Akeda. Have you ever heard of a river on the way to Yerushalayim? Never heard of it. He's going from Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim. There's no rivers anywhere. There's maybe a few streams here and there if you're lucky in the wintertime. But a river, you're walking through the river. He was wading through the river. And that's what it's like when you walk into a mitzvah. It's like there's an opposite force against you and you're fighting again. It's a tremendous reward you're getting. Tremendous reward. So if I have to decide to Hashem's command, you're going to be richly rewarded. Even if you're unable to carry it out, you'll be rewarded for making the choice and deciding how to carry it out. Amazing. But the same is true of the opposite as well. This person makes a bad decision, they're going to reward it for that bad. It's not rewarded, but I'm going to say it. And also for carrying out the decision as well. So it's very hard. And trouble is, what happens is, as we know, the famous debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, 17 years they argued, is it good for a person to be born or not? What does that mean? Is it good for a person to be born or not? It's a very philosophical, theological question. Is it easy to be good in this world or not? If it's easy to be good, it's good to be born. If it's not easy to be good, it's better not to be born. And the halacha is like, whatever the halacha is, not really halacha and a psak. It's not a psak din, it's just a philosophical debate. It was won by Beit Hillel, who is really, it's interesting because he's more negative now. Beit Hillel, some people say it's wrong. It's the other way around. But the verses we have in the Talmud are Beit Hillel says it's better not to be born, but now that you're born, check your deeds. Check your pulse. You know, the medical profession, you check your pulse. In Jewish profession, you check your deeds. Are the deeds clean? What kind of deeds do you have? That's the case. The person's going to keep checking their deeds every day and see, are they on the right direction, wrong direction? The person's going to be really careful. Because every decision we make in this world will have major ramifications in the world above. And we have to really think about it. And where do we learn it from? It says, famous Musar in Parshat Vayigash. 2 weeks ago, right? 2 weeks ago. Sorry, like a new book already. Shemot is like a new book. We forget about Bereshit. But 2 weeks ago, what happens is, Yehuda is begging Yosef. He doesn't know it's Yosef. He said, please, don't take this brother. If you take my brother, my father will die. Da, 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 da. And Yosef says, Ani Yosef. Ha'od Avichai. I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? And the brothers were stuck. And they were aghast. And they were terrified. Yeah, here I'm praying for my father because you don't take my brother. But what about me? I'm your brother. You sold me. You didn't think about your father then. And there the rabbis say, "Oy leyomadin, woe to the day of judgment. This is the day of judgment for them. It's like a day of judgment. This is their worst nightmare. I am Yosef. What happened then? What happened then? Did you think about me? You didn't think about my father?" And they were stuck. And that's what the rabbis said. That's going to happen at the end of time. End of time. It's great, you know, it's amazing because, you see, just yesterday was a big conference about Israel. It's amazing, amazing, big conference about Israel. 17 nations, one I saw 17, the other one said 72, which is interesting in numbers. We talk about 70 nations in the world, it's amazing. 70 nations were in Paris. Talk about 70 nations in the world, right? And Yom HaDin, Hashem will judge all those nations. It's going to happen, it's coming very soon. Maybe sooner than we think. Those 70 nations are going to be judged. God is going to judge all the nations. And they're going to be lost. They're going to say, whatever we did, we did it for the sake of Israel. They're going to say, we did it for the sake of Israel. We want peace in Israel. We want security in Israel. It's the only way to get peace and security is give them back the land. The only way. They forget what happened when we gave back land. We get missiles. You know, that's the part they forgot. So, that's the day of judgment. So everything we do, every decision we make, and every step we take to make that decision happen, if it's good, get reward, tremendous reward for every step of the way. You guys coming out every night, it's fantastic, it's amazing. You're doing, how much reward are you going to get? Amazing reward. Amazing reward. And the worse the class, the more reward you get. Because you get more trouble. You get more trouble. What are the rabbis talking about? What's going on, man? I'm here to learn Torah. It's about what the rabbi says. I'm here to learn Torah. It's interesting. There's an interesting concept. I just want to tell you this concept. It's a concept of enabler. Who is the biggest enabler? A wife or a husband? A wife lets her husband come to shiur. It's a tremendous enabling concept. Where do we see this? So it's interesting. Shlomo Melech says in Shir HaShirim, Lesusati berechve paro, kach rayati ben abanut. Like a horse in Pharaoh's chariot, so is my beloved amongst the daughters. What's going on? Imagine. He's talking about his beloved wife. My beloved is like a horse in Pharaoh's chariot. Beautiful. How a way to describe your wife, right? Like your horse in Pharaoh's chariot. Then we have another pasuk. Miriam, right, had the Yamsuf. Right? So Miriam gets all the women. It's amazing. Bitachon the women had. Because they even took, it says, their musical instruments with them when they came out of Egypt. Why did they take the musical instruments? They said, listen, there's going to be miracles. We're going to sing songs for them. Let's get ready and take the musical. What foresight. They take the musical instruments. The women take the musical instruments. They have such emunah and bitachon in God. Tremendous emunah and bitachon. They take the musical instruments to sing songs when there's a mur- and they had the opportunity at the Yam Suf, at the Red Sea. They sing a song. What are they saying? What is the Miriam saying? Sus ve'rochbora ma'vayam. He threw the horse and the rider into the sea. What's it going to do with women? Why women care about the horse and the rider in the sea? So what's the connection between women and horses? It's crazy. Right? See, that's a very important idea. A horse is also going to get punished because it carried the rider of Pharaoh's army into the sea. So the horse is going to get punished for carrying the rider. A good horse is going to get rewarded for carrying the rider. A person who enables someone to do a mitzvah is going to get tremendous reward. So I saw a beautiful idea. It says, we say right at the end of the tefillah, it says, how does it go? Hi shalom bechelech, shalva be'emunotayich. There will be peace in your strength. What peace are we talking about? Whose peace are we talking about? So it says the women will have peace, whether the men are learning or not learning. If they send their husbands to learn Beit Midrash, as far as they're concerned, the husband went for a mitzvah. Whether he goes for a mitzvah or not, that's his problem. But they send it for the mitzvah, they're going to get the mitzvah whether regardless. It's amazing. Tremendous reward just to enable. Just to enable someone to do a mitzvah. So that's the sword. That's what Shlomo Melech is saying. My wife is like the horse in Paros. She's getting reward for sending me to yeshiva. She's getting reward every time I learn a Torah. Today women learn Torah as well. It's fantastic. So interesting. So we have to trust in God to help us finish the mitzvah. That's where the trust comes in. Trust in God whether I'm going to decide to make a mitzvah or not. That's not trusting God. That's God. I'm going to make that decision. I can ask Hashem to help me make the right decision. Pray to God to give me the brains to make the right decisions. That's really, you know, the more I think about it in life, the more we have to focus on that bracha of Chochmah. And the more I learn about Shlomo Melech, the dream of Shlomo Melech we talked about, right? We looked at Shabbat. It's amazing. The dream of Shlomo Melech, what is the most important thing to ask for from Hashem is Chochmah Bina Dat. Please Hashem, give me Chochmah Bina Dat. That's the first priority in life, because if you have Chochmah Bina Dat, you're going to guarantee success. Without wisdom, everything's a waste of time. The person's going to do the wrong things. It needs the wisdom. We need that wisdom. We need that Chochmah. We need the Bina. It's so important. So that's why the rabbis put it right at the front of the list. The top of the list is wisdom. Top of the list is wisdom. And that's why the bracha on Havdalah is in the bracha of wisdom. Why? Because Havdalah is knowing distinctions between things. Yeah, that takes wisdom. That's Bina and Da'at. Da'at is really the key in terms of distinctions. So a person needs that ability, and we have to pray for that ability. You can trust in God for that ability, but you can't trust in God to make that decision. You can ask God for the ability to decide between good and evil, but the final decision is going to be up to a person. A person cannot trust in God for that decision. And then you've got to make up your mind to do it. You have to will to do that. Hashem's not going to give you that will to do it. But Hashem can stop you. Hashem can help you do it. That's in God's hands. The third part of it. It's interesting. Certain things, a person's got to think, it's not in God's hands. When it comes to this, I'm an atheist. Hashem gave me free will. That's it. It's up to me, not up to God. He gave me the free will. I have the obligation, not up to God. I want His help. I want His help to give me wisdom to make the right decision. I want Hashem to help me to make the right decision. I want Hashem to help me against my Yetzirah. Tatzileni me Yetzirah. Please save me from my Yetzirah. I pray to God every day. We all pray to God every day. Save us from the Yetzirah. It's so diabolical. Okay. Now we come to material pursuits. We got a little bit of time, so good. The difference between serving God and engaging in material pursuits, as far as trusting in God is concerned, concerning material things, you can never know what is good for you or not. This is very fantastic, because when it comes to spiritual things, you got a Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to material things, unless you're a chassid with a Rebbe, and every time you want to do something, you go to the Rebbe, you don't really have guidance. What business should I do? Should I make this deal? Should I not make this deal? Is it going to be good for you? Not going to be. There's no book. There's no Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if you make money, you give the tzedakah. It doesn't say which business deal to make. It's amazing. So there's a tremendous difference between do mitzvot. Do mitzvot is clarity. You got a book. You got decisions made for you. And then you have obligations. When it comes to everything else, there's no real clarity. In those days, you had prophets. I want to know where my donkey is. So Shaul lost his father's donkey. He goes to find a prophet. Shmuel tells him where his donkey is. No problem. If you want to know what trade you go into, you go and ask the Moshe Rabbeinu, what should I do with my life? Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, I'm a prophet, I can see. You're good at this, you're good at this, you're good at this. You should be doing this. That's what you should be doing. Fantastic. You got a prophet. Today, no prophets. No prophets. But the Hasidim, they go, they have belief in their Rebbe's. They ask the Rebbe, what should I do? The Rebbe says, no. Okay, you do this, fine. And they do it. And I don't know. I don't know how successful they are. I don't know what happens. I'm not a chassid. But I believe Hashem gave us all brains. And the reason why He gave us brains is that we have common sense to be able to do certain things that we are good at. And we have the innate ability to know what we're good at and what we like to do. It's what you like to do, what you're good at, that you should choose to do, basically. Simple. That's very simple. Right? So, but there's a tremendous difference between the service of God, which is clarity. It's written down. And things which are not service of God in terms of, but it's also service of God. I'm saying it's more general in terms of what business to do, what job to do, what trade to do, material things. Should I buy this car? Should I buy that car? What is that? Is that a question for a Rebbe? Is it? Is that a lucky question? Maybe it is. Because this costs too much money, you can save money, you can buy staka, it pollutes too much. I have it in my book. My first volume has a section on Bal Tashchit. Is it Bal Tashchit? Is it not Bal Tashchit? Depends on circumstances. It's not so clear. Not so clear. These are questions which are debatable. They're not halachic. Well, they're not clear halacha, put it that way. It's no clear halacha. Should I buy a battery operator? Today it's much more common. That could be a nice new topic for a nice article. So, there, trust in God. Interesting. When it comes to mitzvot, there's much less amount of trust in God. It's amazing. Because it's just up to you to make the decision. And then, to make it come into fruition, that's where you trust in God. But when it comes to material things, I got to trust in God completely, because I don't know where to start. That's not a good right or wrong, unless it's I'm doing something crooked. It's not a right and wrong decision. It's which path to take in life. Therefore, when making decisions concerning which path to take in attaining a livelihood and how to carry it out, trust in God. See what's good for you. Do your best to achieve it. Implore Hashem to inspire you to make the right choices. I've never seen a person pray as much as a businessman pray. I used to teach someone, just happened to. I used to go, when I had more time, I used to go to people's offices and teach them. These are big businessmen. I've never seen a person pray like this guy. His head was right inside the Aron HaKodesh. I mean, he was like attached. He was like, I've never seen a person pray like that. Amazing. Because the decisions he has to make in business, like major decisions. So it's amazing. And that's the way to do it. That's why a person who is individual businessman is much more powerful. His prayers are much more powerful than a person who works for someone. If you work for someone, you get a wage every week, okay, you have less worries. You don't have to pray as hard. But a person who's totally dependent on business, gotta pray really hard. I really believe that they have a much closer contact to God, or they're crooked completely. They have no contact. So either they have a lot of contact or very little contact. But usually a person in business is, you're relying. It's a miracle, really. A business is like a miracle. Some businesses work, some businesses don't. Some businesses close. Some businesses are very successful, some businesses not successful at all. Some businesses can be successful 1 year, some not. It's amazing. It's like a farmer. This is one of the things that caused a lot of Yirat Shamayim is a farmer. Or a sailor in those days. Imagine a sailor on those creaky boats. They were Hasidim there. It says they were pious. They may have been pagan, but they were pious pagans. They prayed to their gods 50 times a day. And where do we see this? In the story of Yonah. All those sailors become Baal Teshuvahs. They all became Jews, they say, eventually. So when it comes to work, it's amazing. So when it comes to spirituality, much less emunah. It's more action. You know what to do. Just do it. When it comes to things which are not mitzvah, work, livelihood, health, general well-being, you're in the dark. What should I do? Much more emunah. Much more emunah. You're in the dark as to what merchandise to carry, what sales techniques to use. Obviously, you get the best advice. And even then, it doesn't help. Some people, it doesn't help. I don't know. You got two people doing the same thing. One is success, one is not. It's all in God's hand. It really is amazing. It's amazing. Therefore, make the decisions concerning which path to take in attaining a livelihood. Trust God to help you decide what is good for you. Do your best to achieve a hishtadlut. And implore Hashem to inspire you to make the right choices. It's so hard. It's amazing. So think about it. Material success, you need God much more than spiritual success. Spiritual success, the path is mapped out. All you have to do is do it. It's mapped out. It's amazing. That's why it's called Mesilat Yesharim, Path of the Just. The path is there. The Shulchan Aruch is right there. Just follow the right path and then you're guaranteed success. What a great system. Wow. Imagine. Imagine someone will give you a book and say, you follow these techniques, you'll be successful in business. 100% successful. 100% success rate. They don't guarantee. No one guarantees 100% success rate. Try this. Right? Maybe 50%, 60%. But if you follow Shulchan Aruch, you're guaranteed 100% success rate. Amazing. You're going to Gan Eden and get 100% success rate. If you follow a certain other, you follow Ben Ishchai, you have a 200% success rate. Because it's way above what the requirements are. You get much more. So amazing, isn't that amazing? So when it comes to other parts of life, you need much more bitachon. Material aspects, you think, are less spiritual. Wrong! They're much more spiritual. Why? Because there's nothing there. It's not mapped out for you. You need much more bitachon. You need much more trust in God. You need much more prayers. Hard. It's not hard to imagine. But the service of Hashem is different. He's already outlined the right course to take, commanded you to choose it. And He already guaranteed you a big reward. This being so, if you beg Him to help you make the right decision, as you should when you're making a living, and trust Him to show you what is good for you, your pleadings are misguided and foolish. When it comes to mitzvot, the choice is already made for you. You just have to follow them. When it comes to life, you need a lot of help from Hashem. It seems to be the opposite of what we always thought, right? When we thought, you know, when it comes to mitzvot, I need much more bitachon, I need Hashem help me do mitzvot. But when it comes to other things, I don't need so much help, it's arbitrary. No, it's the opposite. When it comes to mitzvot, it's all decided for you. You just have to make that will. Make it happen. When it comes to life, that's where you need much more help from Hashem. Amazing. Consider this also. Often a business or vocation that is on the surface seems profitable. And that's how they trick a person, right? Buy this franchise, buy this, it's going to be very profitable. They lay it out, yeah, they give you all the details, and they always give you some rosy picture, and you say, yeah, it's a rosy picture, I'm going to buy into it. Fake, lies, rubbish. On the surface, seems profitable, may prove to a failure. You hear this on the radio all the time, right? You buy this, and you buy that, and they'll help you flip the house, they'll help you flip the houses, they'll invest your money for you, yeah. And one that does not seem profitable turns out to be successful. Amazing. Hashem has the ability to change things around. Amazing. Some people can be very successful in a very short time. But sometimes there's Ponzi schemes. Big Ponzi schemes. They just unearthed another one just recently. But amazing Ponzi scheme. Paying out 17% interest for many years. And everyone came in, all the biggest, even Jewish companies as well, invested with them. Well, I'll tell you a secret. When I first made Aliyah many years ago, I was working in a bank, and I got a job in a bank in Israel. And the day I arrived, all the bank shares collapsed. Same day I arrived, all the bank shares collapsed. And so obviously I didn't get a job in a bank, which was the best thing for me. You know why? Because the bank that wanted to hire me was a crooked bank. The guy, long peyot, big beard, all the yeshivot invested money in him. It was a Ponzi scheme. Baruch Hashem, I didn't get a job in his bank. He was in jail, that guy, for many years. He ripped a yeshivot off. Can you imagine? The yeshivot didn't have any money, and they put all their, what are they were earning interest, so they got Ponzi scheme. Terrible. Can't trust anyone. Just, it's horrible. He's being put on airs, and he's letting Daf Yomi in the jail. By a Mazel Tov. He tricked all the yeshivot out of the money. They're broke. You were broke. So it's important. But we have to realize everything is God's hands, but it's got to be honest. That's number one. Business with honesty and trust in God. There's no other way. You have good businessmen who are unsuccessful. You have bad businessmen who are successful. I don't know what's going on. It's God. It's all God. One store down the corner is very exciting. The other store, the same thing, selling the same things. Listen, when I came to America, when I came here, I remember Bradley's, Caldor, remember those small stores?
Yeah.
But Walmart just ate everything up. Walmart are blessed. You know what I think? I think it's because the advertising is clean. Have you ever seen the magazine? It's clean. There's no nakedness in the magazines. It's all there. It's amazing. The advertising is pretty clean, as opposed to all the other stores. All the other stores went bankrupt. I don't know. It's amazing. They swallowed everything up. It's like they're blessed for some reason. It's something they did does tremendous blessing. You see, some companies just there's blessing in it, and the other companies just swallowed up, disappeared. Which is a shame because there used to be choices before. It's amazing. They just take over everything. So it's interesting. One should not trust in God is to make moral choices. You should trust in God to help you carry out the intended act that you want to do good. Make the choice yourself. That's something you have to do. Have the will yourself and then trust in Hashem. Help me to do it now. I want to do this mitzvah. Help me to do it. But when it comes to other things, business, the person's going to say, give me that thought to do the right business, Hashem. Give me the thought to do the right trade. I want to help you. I want to do your will, but you have to help me make a physical living. Amazing. Amazing, amazing. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're going to continue next week with duties that involve other people. Please come on Wednesday night.